Night Talk with Oliver Dixon.
9 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're listening to Night Talk. My name is Oliver Dixon. Jack Bloom, the DA's Shadow MEC for Health here in Gauteng, joins us. Jack, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it. You're aggrieved, as is the Democratic Alliance in the Gauteng legislature, about the fact that the Gauteng Health Department has employed 11 Cuban doctors, according to the parliamentary submission by the MEC of Health. Talk to me about what the grievance there is.
Well, look, we've got so many unemployed South African doctors. They can't find jobs. They're quite desperate. They've trained in South Africa. They're qualified, and they're ready to serve the public health system, but they can't get jobs. We even have community service doctors. There's over 200, in fact, that haven't been placed. And meanwhile, the Gauteng Health Department is currently employing 11 Cuban doctors. They're getting very high salaries.
What's a high salary?
Well, the minimum they're getting is 1.2 million rand, and the maximum is just over 1.6 million rand.
And that doesn't sound particularly high. That's what a doctor of 5 years' experience earns just about on the market.
Well, it's what they pay doctors, but if you're unemployed, you're not getting that money at all. And I think they are certainly South
Well, we're talking here
doctors.
About a 1.2 million salary. It's equivalent to what you're earning in Parliament in the Gauteng provincial government, provincial
yes,
legislature.
Yes, but if you're unemployed, you're not getting any money whatsoever. And the point is that they're easily replaceable by South African doctors. There's no,
yeah.
They don't have specialist skills that we have to have them. And I think it's high time that, the DA, if we win election in Gauteng,
to pause you there, just to ask, because it's precisely what you're rebutting is what the MEC had said, that they've been placed in rural areas to provide specialist services, where attracting local doctors has been challenging. How much of that do you not believe?
Well, Gauteng is an urban province, and the breakdown of where they're serving, it's all urban areas. We've got quite a number serving in Johannesburg. We've got some in Sedibeng. We've got some in Ekurhuleni. We've got one at Tembisa Hospital and one at Telamugarani Hospital. Those are all urban areas. So it's nothing to do with servicing rural areas. These are all jobs that South African doctors are currently unemployed would very much like to have.
What's germane to that statement, Jack, is that these are specialized doctors where local talent is seemingly difficult to attract. Perhaps respond to that substance rather than the location of the placement. How much of it do you not believe that these doctors are specialized doctors that have perhaps skills and specialities that local talent may not necessarily possess?
I don't believe any of them have specialist talents that can't be replaced by a local doctor. This is purely ideological. There's a treaty with Cuba, and the major part of the treaty is actually to train South African doctors in Cuba. And that program is, I must tell you, fraught with corruption, wasteful spending, and the figure I actually got from the Gauteng Health Department some years ago has cost us more than double to train a South African doctor in Cuba. They also have to spend 1 year learning Spanish, and then when they come to South Africa, they're not even qualified. They have to do 2 more years at a local medical school. So it's an expensive program that's actually plagued with problems, and I think you can see why the Western Cape Health Department,
Health Department
opted out of it.
Do you think that, firstly, just as perhaps an empirical question, do we have enough medical schools in the country to take in what is the demand of prospective students wanting to study medicine?
Well, the reality is that they have expanded places for training in South Africa, and they're producing graduates, and many of these graduates can't
but
get
do we
a
have
job.
Do we have enough medical schools that can take enough students, or do we need the support of other countries? Doesn't necessarily just have to be Cuba. Is there any benefit to South Africa saying, hey, look, we have an over demand of students wanting to study medicine. We don't have enough training facilities. Our universities have reached maximum capacity. Let's send some out into the world, wherever that may be, to get training over there. Yeah, there might be a language barrier. They'll spend an extra year or two trying to overcome that. But nonetheless, the benefit is that we have doctors coming back into the country. Is there a general rationality to that calculus?
Well, look, we are short of doctors overall in terms of our overall need, but at the same time, we have a huge number of vacancies. My colleague in Parliament, Michelle Clark, just got a reply, 14% vacancies for doctors across the country.
No, my question is not about the placement of doctors. My question is about the training of doctors. The question is very specifically about training facilities, because you're impugning the treaty. So I'm trying to establish whether or not you think that there's no place for any such treaty, regardless whether it's with Cuba, it could be with any other country. Let's first establish whether you think there's a need for South Africa to, so quote unquote, export students into the world to train in medicine in other parts of the world, specifically because we have a cap on what our medical institutions, training institutions in this country can absorb as amount of students per year.
Well, I think we can do a lot to expand facilities. In fact, there's a demand for a private medical school. There was a proposal some years ago, as I remember, that a consortium wanted to open it up, and it's the government is ideologically opposed to that, and that would absorb quite a number, and the people who can afford that would go to that medical school, and free up places in the public medical schools. But the government doesn't want to go that route. I think there's lots of options for expanding medical training in South Africa before you go for the more expensive option, because it does turn out to be a more expensive option of training doctors overseas. So I think we've just got chronic mismanagement of our health system. It's full of corruption, as we've seen, especially in Gauteng. And, you know, one should look at a functioning public health system, the Western Cape health system, which gets clean orders from the Auditor General, and they've opted out of the Cuban treaty.
So South Africa, there are many South African students studying nursing, for instance, in the United Kingdom. Is that something that we should not support?
No, look, I mean, we're benefiting from the other countries' investment in their education. But that's not
Cuba
done
different?
By treaty. Well, because there's a particular agreement, and I have to tell you, you know, from what I can see, it's very poor value for money. It's badly run.
What is the actual agreement? So I haven't seen this specific treaty.
Well, it dates back, you know, to the era of Nelson Mandela. And they've got the Cuban doctor training program, but as it's evolved over the years, it's been hugely expensive. I've asked questions in the Gauteng Health Department over the years. At one stage, they were spending 200 million rand on this program, and it was double the cost of training locally, with all the attendant problems of it takes you about 3 years longer to graduate because of the language problems and the extra 2 years you have to do at a local medical school. Doesn't make sense from a cost point of view. If you took that money, huge amount of money, and invested it in local medical schools, you'd get you could expand places, and I think everybody would happy. So I think what's happened with the program, as with virtually everything else to do with health in South Africa, is that you know, there's corruption, mismanagement, complaints, and it doesn't work well at all.
So you're okay with student exchange programs, bilateral student exchange programs, just not with Cuba?
Well, I think there's got to be a rational interest in it. It's got to be cost effective, and South Africa has to gain by it. But what we have at the moment, let's come back to
look, Jack. To be very honest with you, right? To be very honest with you, by its nature, student exchange programs are expensive because we don't have the strongest of currency. Whether you're sending students to Cuba, America, or the UK, it will inevitably be twice or three times the cost, because when you convert the rand value of it, you realize, oh, okay, we don't have that strong a rand. It costs 300,000 rand to get an MBA in South Africa if you're going for the cheapest one. The cheapest MBA you'll get in America will cost you 1 million rand. But no one says that there's not value for money education. My question is, it seems the issue here is not the student exchange program, but rather the relationship South Africa has with Cuba. So maybe let me directly ask this. Do you think at a bilateral geopolitical level that Cuba is bad news for South Africa, overall speaking?
Well, you know, what do we get out of this program? I can tell you now, I mean, just in broader terms, you'll find that South Africa has been paying hundreds of millions rand to Cuba, and we're getting very little in return. I can see the case for student exchange and student training. If you're getting specialist training that you can't get in this country, there's a big case for that. But, you know, health conditions in Cuba are very different from South Africa, so there's that problem. There's the language problem as well. So you have to do an extra year. And the fact of the matter is, once they come back from Cuba, they've got to do two whole more years in a local medical school. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're not getting the full training to become a doctor in Cuba, and they have to finish off their training in South Africa at further expense. It's just very poor value for money. So the Western Cape Health Department has opted out of it entirely, and they've chosen to use the money that would have been spent than that on local training and local employment of South African doctors. There's just no rationale there's the training aspect, but there's just no rationale in employing Cuban doctors in our health system when there's available South African doctors too, who would be very willing and very happy to take those jobs and the experience and everything that goes with it, the livelihood.
Yeah. Give us a call. The number to dial is 086-000-2032. 086-000-2032. You can also send me a WhatsApp voice note on 0614-104-107. Do you have a question or comment? I'm in conversation with Jack Bloom, the Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng. And he is responding to the MEC of Health's submission in the provincial legislature around Gauteng provincial government employing 11 Cuban doctors at a cost of about 14 million rand per year. Just works out to just about 1.1, 1.2 million rand per Cuban doctor that the Gauteng provincial government spends. Jack thinks that money could be better spent in a different way, and that there's no merit in maintaining a treaty relationship with Cuba when the cost of it is so high and when the return on it seemingly doesn't meet the local requirements. And on top of that, the backdrop that we have more than 1,000 unemployed doctors in the country. The MEC, however, says, well, these are specialist doctors. And Jack says, we don't quite believe that. We think we have the talent and the skill and the speciality that the MEC claims these Cuban doctors are bringing into the mix in South Africa. What are your thoughts on that? Give me a call, 086-000-2032. I'm also taking your WhatsApp voice note on 0614-104-107. More substantively, Jack, what are you doing about this as an opposition member in the legislature? The Democratic Alliance, you would recall not too long ago, in 2020 and 2021, took to court the South African government when it wanted to give a financial donation to Cuba during COVID, saying that money quite literally is necessary. We have a strained fiscus. We're in the middle of a pandemic and you want to donate money to another country, regardless of what its needs may be. And the court found in favor of the Democratic Alliance over there. There seems to be some legal precedence for some sort of legal action. Is that a path you're considering, or you're entirely waiting for the election to swing things around?
Well, look, first of all, one has to expose that the MEC didn't voluntarily give this information in the legislature. It was a question that I posed to her. And so now we know the situation. I've asked similar questions over the years as well, particularly about the cost of the training program in Cuba. And yes, we are in election season, and I think there's a real prospect that the current governing party can lose Gauteng and that there can be a DA-led provincial government. And I can tell you now, one of the things we'll do is to be reviewing all these programs that are not giving value for money, and certainly cancelling the Cuban doctor contracts that are currently in operation, and winding down the training program in Cuba. In fact, we'll do what Western Cape has done. We'll opt out of it. Because I think the priorities in Gauteng is using a very large budget. They get a budget of 62 billion rand, more than 60 billion, 2 billion rand, which is very badly spent, very corruptly spent.
What is
And
the
I think better management is needed.
Just on a ratio question, how many doctors does the Gauteng provincial government employ altogether, and what percentage of that are these 11 doctors?
Look, it's very small, obviously, but it's the principle of the thing. The principle of the thing is that we have a huge number of unemployed South African doctors, and we need to justify why any foreign doctors are employed over a local doctor. Do they have specialist skills? I mean, a large number of these, I think it's four, work for the Johannesburg Metro District, which is not a specialist position. None of them are actually in specialist positions, from what I can see, that a local couldn't perform. But if you're working in Johannesburg Metro District, that's an ordinary medical officer. That's not a specialist position at all. So a DA provincial government would certainly review all these programs and just get value for money for it, and give preference to locals. I don't see why that's controversial.
Yeah, and failure of that, at least if such programs are unable to be cancelled. I mean, cancelling a program comes with a cost. It's not as though you can just, cancel it with no consequences, especially if there's a contractual obligation, for instance. And say, hypothetically, I don't know the details of it, if these doctors were employed for were offered a 5-year contract, and if you cancel it in its 3rd year, you still owe them the value of the last 2 years. The value doesn't disappear, right? So canceling the program doesn't bring more money back into the fiscus. But that notwithstanding, what is the current engagement between the office of the DA caucus in Gauteng legislature and the office of the MEC about these doctors? Now that you have this information, what is the follow-up with the MEC?
Well, look, the Gauteng legislature has very few meetings left. We're going to be closing up quite soon for the elections. But in fact, part of the information that I got from my question was that I asked, when do these, what is the duration of these contracts? A number of these contracts are actually terminating this year.
Okay.
According to the MEC, some of them are permanent, whatever that means. But others are actually terminating this year, and according to the department, they'll be reviewing the situation as to whether they're renewed or not. I don't think there's any question why they should be renewed. The DA provincial government would just not renew them, and in that way, you're quite correct. We'll have to look at the costs and the legalities of winding down the program. But then at least you must have the political will to wind down the program. They don't have the political will to do that. They seem quite willing to extend the contracts, whereas the DA will look to winding them down in the most cost-effective way possible.
And just maybe lastly here, winding down the program, ending it, and all the other wasteful programs that you may have identified, how many employment opportunities for un for qualified doctors will that create?
Well, we can start filling all the vacancies that we already have. That's the problem. Because of the misspending by the Gauteng Health Department, we're not able to fill existing vacancies. That's the crime, quite frankly. If you look at the corruption just alone at the Tembisa Hospital,
Right.
For which Babita Deokaran was assassinated, I mean, the SIU found that more than 1 billion rand was misspent. Now, can you just imagine if you actually spent that money properly? I can tell you now that Tembisa Hospital has vacancies right across the board, nurses, doctors, all sorts of positions. Well, if you spent the money properly, stopped all the stealing, because that's really what's happening, stopped that the looting, and you could fill existing vacancies. And then if we happen to be short of doctors, if all the local doctors are employed, then we can look at other sources of supply. But I just think we need to run a decent health system. We need to review all our programs, whether they value for money and good for the patient, because at the end of the day, we should have a patient-centered health system and try to do the best with the available budget.
Yeah, let's have a listen at these WhatsApp voice notes that's come through from our listeners.
Hi, Oliver. I don't think you will get any progress from questioning that DA, the gentleman, because it's not about the value that we are not or we are getting from these Cuban doctors. It's just about the principle that the DA doesn't like anything anti-West. Because if this program was with UK or America, they would have accepted it.
Good evening, Dixon. Good evening to Mr. Bloom there. I hate to agree with the DA, but there's truth in what he's saying. There's no way that they can employ Cuban doctors, whereas we have so many unplaced doctors here. And considering the rate of unemployment in South Africa, those doctors are not in rural areas. They are somewhere there in Gauteng. Anything to do with the ANC, that's corruption. That is the fact. So I hate to agree with him.
Good evening. I just want to say that if you take any 11 medical doctors who are South African born, educated here, the total package will come around 40 million rand. So there's nothing weird about that. Secondly, Mr. Bloom clearly did not establish the true facts as to whether these Cuban doctors are indeed speciality doctors. So how can he deny that? Thirdly, he must look at adverts in the rural areas. How many of our own South African-born doctors apply for rural positions? They simply does not want to apply. So naturally, they will be sourced elsewhere. Fourthly, if we do indeed appoint them in the rural areas, they stay around 3-4 months, then ask for transfer back to the cities. So that's the challenge. It is not true that these doctors who are coming from Cuba, South African trained doctors, have to do an additional 2 years to be qualified and acknowledged as medical practitioners. No, that's far-fetched. It's not true. You must not mislead the public. Stanley from Kimberley.
Jack, do you want to respond to Stanley's point there? Granted, a great deal of it is speculative conjecture, but some merit to it. South African doctors don't want to work in far-flung townships, peri-urban and rural areas. In fact, they'll apply, get the job, and then 4 months later ask for a transfer. And that it is indeed hard to attract talent to outside of urban nodes across the province and across the country. And that is why there is a shortage of doctors and vacancies in certain areas and hospitals, not just in the province, but the country over. Do you want to respond to that argument?
Yes, well, obviously it doesn't apply to Gauteng because we're an urban province, but the DA believes
Gauteng
in
does
incentives.
Have peri-urban and rural areas, by the way. It's not entirely just an urban area.
No, well, yeah, but it's not, I think anywhere in Gauteng you would find that there's lots of doctors who willing to work here. But let's take, deep rural areas. I think there needs to be the proper incentives. And you actually find when you interview, unemployed local doctors is that they're quite prepared to take any position. And some of them express a preference, in fact, for a rural position, but they can't even get the rural position. So I think that incentives should be there, but also when you select students for local medical schools, you can make that a criterion, that willingness to work in a rural area, and I think that's already part of the selection process of local medical schools. So there's ways of rectifying that. I think that one has to assess that what's the real need, and yes, if you really definitely can't get locals to do that, then you do need to get foreign doctors. We agree with that because, in fact, the patient comes first. If you can't, if they're not able to get a doctor, particular area, and a local person isn't available, but the fact is, if a local person isn't available, and that's what I think needs to be tested.
Yeah, and as long as those doctors aren't Cuban, I'm assuming.
Well, you know, there's also a question mark over, you know, the how good their training actually is, especially comparing the difference between Cuban health conditions and South African health conditions. And yes, we must talk about the language barrier. That is a problem. I mean, if you just speak to a lot of South African doctors, and they'll tell you some of the language problems encountered by Cuban doctors in urban areas, you can imagine how it's compounded in rural areas. So, I mean, it really should be much better for us to have local doctors who can speak local languages, particularly in the rural areas. I mean, that's an important part of
you know,
of
that language barrier doesn't the language barrier doesn't disappear when you appoint a Afrikaans trained and Afrikaans speaking doctor in a Zulu speaking area. That language barrier still exists. Language barrier isn't an insurmountable problem anywhere in the world.
Yes, I know, but I mean, it's ideally communication is so important that we, you know, ideally you do have people who can speak local languages, and we need to increase the incentives and make it attractive to be in rural areas. How much has the South African Health Department done to make sure that these rural practices are attractive? I can tell you what the real problem actually is. Many doctors just don't want to work in a rural clinic that is so badly staffed and so badly maintained and equipped. That's part of the problem, is that we have deteriorating health facilities, particularly in rural areas, that you know, doctors don't want to work there because they're feeling they're letting down their patients. They don't have the equipment. I mean, that's the part of the problem, is that we have a terribly run health department, particularly in rural areas. So, I mean, I think that doesn't make it attractive at all, because doctors, you know, want to do the best for their patients. And if they can't, because they're in a rundown clinic, which might not even have functioning electricity at all times, they might have water shortages and they've got equipment shortages. That's a large part of the reasons why it's difficult to get doctors into certain rural areas. It's just not an attractive proposition. They want to do the best for their patients. They can't because they don't have the infrastructure.
Jack Bloom, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. That's the DA's Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng. We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we continue the conversation.